This.
Check this out.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
When Odell takes the field, it will have been what?
Yeah, 500 plus days.
Since he's played a football game.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Ravens gave him $15 million. And the Giants are like, yeah, do we give Saquon Barkley $15 million a year? That's what they're thinking.
Earlier on the show, the Fire Pit Collective golf writer, Alan Shipnot, NBC Sports Boston Patriots insider, Tom Curran. Coming up from FX's Justified City Primeval, actor Timothy Oliphant. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the air right now here on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, and more. Fun show that we're having, and I could not be more thrilled to kick off this hour with the star of FX's Justified City Primeval. He is back as Raylan Givens, which is a gift to anybody who knows Justified or Leonard Elmore or Elmore Leonard or all of that stuff. We are so excited to have here on the Rich Eisen Show, Timothy Oliphant back here on the show. How are you doing, Timothy?
It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
I'm telling you
something. As soon as you start talking, I'm reminded just how smooth and easy you make it all look.
Well, you know what?
I just called
one of the greatest authors in the history of authoring. Len Elmore is a great announcer and basketball player. But anyway, long story short.
It up? Did I miss it?
No,
you almost did.
I should have just let it go.
By the way, technically,
yes.
Oliphant.
Did I really?
I'm on a run right now where I've decided I'm going to just. I feel like I've let it slide, and I've created a problem.
Okay.
My dad gets upset.
What does your dad get upset about?
Well, when he hears Oliphant. Oliphant.
Okay.
When I say he hears it, he hears it from my children when they say their name's Oliphant, and he goes, "What?" And he goes, "It's Oliphant." And then he looked at me and says, "Tim, what are you doing?" I said, "Let them say it how they want."
So you've been on this show. Hold on a second. You've been on this show multiple times. You were on our podcast so long ago that predated this show.
12 years you've been doing
it. As a matter
show,
of fact, you set the record for most curse words in the history of that
that
broadcast. And I've been mispronouncing your last name the entire time.
I only noticed it now.
So it's
Oliphant.
Oliphant. Elephant, but Oliphant.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Oliphant. Timothy Oliphant here on the Rich Eisen Show.
It's a mouthful. I don't expect you to
say it. No, it's great.
By the way, just drop the Timothy. Just go with Tim, and maybe it makes it easier.
Tim Oliphant.
We're not that close. Go back to Timothy. It sounded...
I just walked right into that. Fantastic. Raylan Givens is back.
You know I've had.
Or is it Raylan Givens? Is it? I mean,
yeah. Let me correct you. And
Givens.
I've had this mug in my. I've sent you a photograph. Did I not send you a photograph of this mug and on my desk with it holds pencils?
Yeah.
Take this one. We do go way back.
Now
you
get like a car seat.
You know what? Just say, buddy.
My bud.
Just say, yeah.
Tim Oliphant.
Just say, let me ask
here
you.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Can I ask you something, buddy? You
know, pal.
Sport. You get to the show. And by the way.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk Justified because that.
Of course.
But I also want to say, because this feels right up your alley.
Okay.
And forgive me, I'm self-promoting here.
Please.
But there's a Soderberg thing coming out.
I know, yeah.
And that is also. I'm not taking credit for this.
Yes.
It's certainly not full responsibility, but I feel like I'm going to be two for two on these.
I bet you will.
They're sweet.
Full circle.
Full circle.
How about that? See, that's the name of the show that's coming on Max. And by the way, because I don't know them very well, I would call it HBO Max, but I know it's not Max now.
Yeah, you can't be expected
see, this
to
whole
keep
thing,
up.
I can't keep up. And Steven Soderbergh is the director
of
that one.
I heard there's something called Roku.
Sir,
see it on your desk there, and I figure it must be a thing.
Speaking of insanely popular and successful Academy Award-winning directors that you have worked with, is it true, Tim, that we can, because I've been telling you, I'd love to see more Raylan Givens, that we can credit Quentin Tarantino for this, or what here? What do we got?
He and I had a conversation about this. On the set of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes.
And yes, it still gives me a little tingle just to talk like that's my part of my life.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
It's still just pretty cool. I've had it pretty good. Stick around long enough, they say. And where I said, hey, let me ask you something. I have this idea, because we've been talking about bringing the show back, but we need the something to jumpstart it, you know, something to give us a get it going. Mm-hmm. And I said, what if we took this Elmore Leonard book, City Primeval, mm-hmm. and just stripped it for parts and turned it into a Raylan story? And he thought that was a great idea. And that's that helped.
So you
put some wind in our sails.
You had the seeds of the idea, or you were the one who was coming up with the idea. You had this book. You saw
let's
the book.
Let's just say it was your, to your audience. It was all me. That's all my idea.
And Quentin Tarantino, when he's
not
like,
exactly.
But and so when was, Quentin's
we,
like
the writers, we had been talking. The guys from the show. We've always stayed in touch. We've always talked about wanting to bring it back.
Yes.
I love those guys. I love that collaboration. They mean the world. And we were just looking for. We were looking for that idea to get it started.
Yes.
And I brought that idea up to Quentin. I mean, I'm there on the set. I'm not going to waste an opportunity here to pick his brain.
Yes.
And I knew he knew the show. He was a fan of the show. And he was a huge Elmore Leonard fan. He's adapted him himself.
Yes.
Amazingly so, with Jackie Brown. And what I didn't know is that he was going to, at one point, make City Primeval a film. And he loves the book, and he was very enthusiastic. And at one point, was going to direct two of our episodes. Yeah.
And what happened?
There was an unfortunate thing where he went and had a kid, and got in the way.
The kids will screw it
and
up.
That's what they do. People say they change your life, and that's really code for they get in the way.
Father of the Year, Tim. Elephant.
Well,
Elephant.
Congratulations on you. Best dad ever.
Best dad ever. 9 years running. And I have a 14-year-old. That's sad. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I got this.
I got this a few years ago.
Working
out the kinks. So what was it like for you to put the hat back on for the first time and look in the mirror and see, okay, there's Raylan Givens.
Well, the cool thing about aging, it doesn't affect hat size. You know what I mean?
And it doesn't affect hats.
You know, you got to put the hat back on, otherwise people won't know what the show is. So, see?
There it is.
There you go. You put the hat back on, and they're like, oh, there it is. Same old.
Now,
is it
like an athlete putting on eye black, where like you get in a mindset before you walk out on the stage there, and you put
it's
the hat
exactly
on?
Exactly like that.
Superman's cape.
It's got to be something similar.
It felt so similar to my NFL days when I put on the...
Well, you won't. You play tennis. You don't wear.
I will throw on the zinc. Very similar. Very similar.
Throw it on the zinc.
I'm a big fan of the zinc. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
And by the way, I'll go with colors.
By the way, since you and I have last had a conversation,
on
this show, and you poked merciless fun at me at the way I mimicked.
I don't recall
making
it that way.
Making a tennis racket swing motion where I went like this, and
now,
you said it's not
now
like
it's
slamming
coming
a
back
door.
To me. Okay. Well, it's still a little haunted by it.
Exactly, it's not like slamming a door, Rich. You know, you got to put spin on it. I have since taken many. You inspired me to take many lessons.
Good for you.
I'm okay at it. I can't take. I probably you'd still. Probably kick my ass a little
bit. Well, sure.
Here.
I think everyone expects that, but still. I think still, though.
But I know what you mean.
Oh,
about,
I see a little
you know,
brush.
Oh, I got the brush.
I got brush.
You've got, you zinc it up, I got brush. I'll brush it up. You zinc it up, I'll brush it up. We'll see what's on. Yeah.
And what's the backswing look like? Is it, oh, you know, I, let me I, see the back. The, is
oh,
it
oh,
back
yeah,
here?
Hold on. Up.
Whoa,
yeah, one
is it one-hander?
No. I do the one-hander. I do. I don't do the two.
You're talking about pickle.
I am a pickle. I am a pickle guy.
It's hard not to love it, right?
Do you play
it? You want to hate it, but it's great.
You're into it, right?
I love it. Is it going to take off, though? Is it a spectator sport?
No. I don't think so.
Although I'm
still
not sure golf is a spectator sport, and yet there it is.
I will on occasion see... I will see on occasion a point or two and stop and watch and maybe get a pointer and not actually put it into practice when I actually play.
Sure.
But I do love it. It's great. So you play. How often do you play pickleball?
Not as often as tennis.
Okay.
Still pretending my knees don't hurt.
Okay.
And but I do love the pickle. And if it was, I do. I'll tell you this. I was... For years, like a lot of tennis players, like, oh, come on. Like if you found out a buddy was playing pickle and that's why he couldn't play tennis. And then I went out there, mm-hmm. and 3 hours later, I was in my backyard going, honey, I feel like we could fit a court.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, it was so much fun.
All right. Do you want to tell him what you say then? Every single time pickleball's brought up? Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well,
say it to my buddy Tim.
Well, Tim, I feel like we're friends. We go way back. We've known you for a long time. You've been coming on our shows. How old are you again?
No.
He's no year's age.
According to Wikipedia,
pickleball is
55, but
people.
I still don't think that's right.
Okay. Can't confirm.
It's for people of a certain age.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Yes.
No, I was out there playing with professional tennis players.
Because
guys on the tour.
Because it's a fad now. That's why. That's why they're into it.
Well, Chris, you're catching up to our conversation. I think it started out with that sort of, well, I guess I asked if it was a spectator sport.
Right.
Which is
that's a different story, though.
So it's not, I'm not saying it's a fad. I don't think it's a fad. I think it's sticking around.
It does feel like it's cooled a little bit.
No, it hasn't. Just because I have stopped talking about it.
I think it's got
a
lot going for it.
It does.
Taking up less space. Right. Everybody can play it. The entry level's good. But the people that are really good are... It's pretty fun.
So you played with people on a tour?
Yeah, I played with I've had a chance to play with some really good, some ball players.
Yeah, do you want to drop a name or what? Come on.
Big Sam Querrey. I know that's going to impress
you.
Big Sam Querrey.
By the way, yeah.
I was out there playing. That was my first time ever playing. Another guy plays on the pickleball tour, former college tennis player, and then my daughter who played college tennis. And so... I was there with three very good tennis players / pickleball players.
Yes.
And it was a kick to play. And they were tagging the ball, and then it was sweet.
You got to learn how to dink it.
And they know how to dink
it. You got to do it. The little Peter Dinklage every now and then.
Yeah, it's the sound I could do without.
Yeah.
But it's pretty fun.
Okay.
There's a sweat involved.
It's totally, yeah. Brother, pay him no attention.
Are you? You're just. You're a downer when it comes to pickle.
Yes, he is.
You're not alone, by the way.
And then I challenged him, and he said, "I don't want to hurt my Achilles."
The problem is, here's the problem: is that I've really dug in on this stance, and I would feel like a pretty big hypocrite backpedaling.
No, you wouldn't. Stop it. You can.
You wouldn't be alone on that either. You'd be on a line. You'd be on a line.
You know what I mean?
I was that guy.
Yes.
We'd just be closer.
And that is one of my goals in life, is to be closer to Tim.
This is what we're doing here. We're all just trying to come together.
It'll be a great finish.
Figure it out.
To Justified City Primeval, seeing Raylan Givens step in the kitchen, getting called for being in the kitchen. That'll be fantastic.
Oh my God.
He would not be happy with that.
You know what? If this show goes well, and now there's a plea to the viewers and the listeners, watch the show, because I've always wanted to do another one after this one. And by the way, it's good. So I'm not trying to cheat you. But if we bring it back,
yes.
I feel like Raylan's going to be playing pickle.
Yeah, that alone.
In the hat, obviously.
In the hat, of course.
I mean, if you don't have the hat on, no one knows it's the show. They're what is the show?
The most important question, since we're spitballing here and we're creating the second season of Justified City Primeval.
This is just like talking with Quentin on the set.
It premieres tomorrow.
You and me with the pickleball
idea. Exactly. At 10
p.m.
Eastern.
Put the wind in our sails.
Exactly. And I don't allow cell phones on this set either. 10 p.m. Eastern on FX. And you could watch it on Hulu the next day, which is available here on Roku.
So, hold on a second. Sorry, I just want to turn this off really quick. I had forgotten.
No, it's okay. I'm very Tarantino-like like that. Would Raylan zinc it up is the question. Does Raylan Givens zinc it up?
Well, he's going to when he's playing pickle.
Attaboy.
For sure.
I just love watching you kick ass and take names like this.
Well, and it's that's so what's going to be cool, is to see him go from playing pickle to kicking ass. And by the way, it's going to do a lot for pickle. I think that might bring you around when you see Raylan playing pickle and then kicking ass.
Right. I like that he has shortened it like Tom Cruise. Like, it's not pickleball, it's pickle.
Just stop talking. You just belie your ignorance on the subject matter with each syllable you utter into the Rick Eisen Show microphone.
I don't get the reference.
No, just
Cruise shortens words like, oh, I'm not working on Mission Impossible. I'm working on Mission.
Rob Lowe told us
that. Mission.
He learned from Tom Cruise the very badass way of talking about your filmography.
So, for instance,
you wouldn't have said, well, I was on the set of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I was on the set of Hollywood.
I was on the set of Hollywood.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what I'm like.
By the way, can we get back to Primeval?
Yes, please.
See what I did there?
No, go. Let's do it. Please.
Shortened it.
Oh, I see.
Wordsmith. Wow.
By the way, and I told you earlier, also check out Circle, because Circle's
Full Circle. So tell me, what is that Circle. About with Soderbergh? What's that about?
That is a it's like a botch kidnapping that just exposes everybody's dirty little secrets. It is so intense and so riveting. And the performances are so good.
Claire Danes, Dennis Quaid, you.
Yeah.
And Soderbergh, one of the smartest people I've ever come across.
He's what they call a genius.
I would agree.
Yeah. He just doesn't miss. So it's pretty cool. Yeah. Riveting.
Okay.
Riveting.
All right. And that's on Max, the original limited series. I've never asked you this, so I'm going to ask you. How did you get involved with Curb, your enthusiasm, and Larry David? And those episodes, which, by the way, you are brilliant in. Those are some funny, funny episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know how to do it any other way.
Oh, that's, you only know one speed. I like it. I like it.
You know what I mean? I'm like you. I just win.
I just like complimenting you.
I just win.
It's in my hair.
I do appreciate that.
How'd you get involved?
It was so fun to be a part of that. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's one of those jobs where I'd pay to be there. I mean, not really, but you know, the spirit of what I'm saying.
In theory.
Yes.
I had Jeff Schaefer, who produces that show, runs that show there with Mr. David. I had worked, I think this is how I got on there,
yeah.
I had worked with, he had a show called, it's a sports show.
The League?
There you go.
Yes.
And I did an episode of The League.
Okay.
So that was the beginning of that relationship. And I think that's what might have something to do with it. I don't know.
So you never met Larry David before getting on the set with him?
No, never.
What was that like?
Oh, what a joy. I had not, usually with most people that I am obsessed with, and because that's a show. I'm not a big TV show guy. I actually don't like a lot of TV, but I will watch Curb till, you know.
Yeah.
Till they quit.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know he was such a generous laugher. I didn't know he just laughs, and it was a ball. And I'm guilty of that too.
Okay.
I'll crack up in the middle. I'm pretty easy to crack up on a set.
Right.
So just laughing with him, and the way they shoot that is so fun. I mean, they're getting away with murder. Yeah. It's so fun.
So did you ad-lib many of your lines? Or
I mean, basically, I don't want to go too in the weeds, but you know, they don't have a script per se. They just have an outline.
Right.
So for my episode, for example, they would have a scene where it just says, you know, Larry's going to come to your room. He needs a toothbrush. You have an extra toothbrush, but you won't give it to him. Right? Because that's your toothbrush. And he's having to, you know. So you arrive on set, and they kind of just huddle up, and we read that. That's the scene. And then they say, okay, let's go. And the first take might be 15 minutes. And maybe a minute of it's usable, and you just kind of begin to shape it.
Yes.
And you know, the one piece of advice I had gotten, or I tend to listen to, is don't try to be funny, and when in doubt, just repeat what the other person says.
Mm-hmm.
So cut to seconds after that, here he knocks on the door, cameras are rolling, and he's like, I need two. You got an extra toothbrush? And I said, yeah, I got one. He's like, oh, great, I need it. And I was like, oh, you can't have it, And then he's like, what are you talking about? And you're just going, and then it slowly is like, okay, next take. Here's what we liked. That's funny. Let's do more of that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it starts becoming a toothbrush emergency. And then I'm talking about, but that's your toothbrush emergency. That's not my toothbrush emergency. And all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, this is the show. We've just sort of stumbled in. This is the show. And I said to him, how do you get one of these? I mean, I've been memorizing lines my whole life.
What do you say?
I mean, what an idiot.
Seinfeld, is that what he said? Just do Seinfeld?
Yeah, I just said, yeah. So, listen, my character's not dead. If they're listening, I had a ball on there.
That was
fun.
That was a funny episode with the Toblerone and the weights and whatever.
The whole thing was amazing.
You know,
I started to slouch, but I didn't want Chris to have to come over and adjust my camera.
Understood. Look at you.
Can you just get over here? Can you just hustle over here?
All right. Well,
Tim, I just finished Daisy Jones and the Six. And I love everything you're in, man, like literally. But I really, how was it working on that?
I had a ball on that thing. Well, sorry, I went back. I went back
yeah, go back to your seat. He's just baiting you.
You guys are really...
Well, we're into it.
You guys are really cut down here at the staff. I appreciate that. I had a ball doing that thing. The guys that created that show was Scott Neustedtler, and no one wants to know the director's name, but he's a wonderful director. But I had known them for a while, and they gave me a shout about that character. I love that genre. I love those. And we just had a good time, you know.
70s rock. It was really cool.
What a wonderful cast. What a lovely group of people. It was fun to fun to hang out with those folks.
What's your favorite Deadwood?
James Ponsalt was the director's name.
What's your favorite Deadwood story? Give me one.
Favorite Deadwood story?
Yes, from the entirety of it all.
What do you want? I told you the one about killing the kid. Is that fair to talk about at this point?
What is it again?
It's a milk story. It's the first one that came to mind. You know what? Let's go for it. I'm not saying this is... All I know... I'm having second thoughts, but I'm still going to commit to some part of the story.
Very well.
There was a character on the show... Perhaps it was a young character.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some brouhaha going on that somebody connected to that that actor was being a pain in the ass. And there was some drama behind the scenes.
That's odd for a David Milch production.
So good.
Okay.
So there's this kid, and there's some brouhaha going on that didn't sit well with Milch. And, you know, I tend to stay out of those things, so I didn't know much about what was going on.
Yes.
But within just an hour or two, there was a knock on my trailer door, and Milch is there. And unusually, we tend to just talk it on the set or talk at lunch. So the fact he's at my trailer, I said, you know, what's going on? He said, we're going to kill the kid.
That was his solve to whatever was happening behind the scenes.
I'm not sure. It wasn't the first time that was a solve, by the way. There was another character at one point that was a bit of an issue with scheduling, and he didn't live long either. But what's amazing about this story is, if I may, the creativity of that man. Because that happened. He said to me, he goes, look, he's no dummy. He knows underneath, just a neurotic actor. He said, right after he said, I'm going to kill the kid, he said, it's going to be wonderful for you. It's a wonderful storyline. Like, it's going to be great. We had this whole, you know the show.
Yeah.
There was a kid that died, and it was a tragic event. The whole town witnessed it.
Yeah.
Me sitting over the kids while he's still with us, and his real father was my character's brother. I was raising my older brother's child.
Yes.
He's talking to me as if I'm... He thinks I'm his real father.
It was soul crushing watching this.
The bullets go into mourning, and the town is in disarray. And they don't know when it's right to go get Bullock. And Swearingen's got to come to our house, and he comes through the front door for the first time, and we sit in my home. All these amazing. He wasn't wrong. It was incredible drama. It took up the bulk of that season,
and it was born out of.
And I was like, what the f*** was this show going to be about? I mean, they're historical figures. He has no problem taking creative license.
Sure.
I mean, the season we were going to do, the guy was amazing. That Mrs. Bullock,
yes.
When I got the job, I was told her character would arrive sometime in the first season, and she would show up with the kids, and then it was like, well, it's going to be the final episode. Then he came up to me, he said, at the final episode, your wife shows up, and then he said, next year. And so, you know, he was just, he was so willing to just go with like, no, what's happening here is really interesting. There's more here to dig into. And played just by, a willingness to zig and zag and know that he still had history on his side. We had a self-contained set. It was a perfect storm of madness and creative genius, and somehow it all worked. It was amazing.
Well, I mean,
it was something to be around.
Yeah, played by unbelievable. Played by Anna Gunn, who many people know as Mrs. Walter White.
Anna Gunn, yes, the lovely, the talented, just a wonderful cast. Woman. She thought she was showing up early season one, then not till end of season one, and then, you know, hang on, we'll have you next year.
And then, you know, you'll be part of an incredible plot twist based on the fact that somebody was pain in the ass off camera. And David Milch is like,
somebody connected. I'm not naming who was a connect, whatever. And look, now, keep in mind, that may not have even been the real truth. No, I mean, even for David, like, I don't know if that's what's real.
That's true. I got you.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what's real. He might have had that plan all along, and he was looking for the nudge. I don't know. Right. He might have had it. You don't know. I just know that that's my experience.
I bet.
And that was weekly.
Kid should never have given him that bad tip of the fifth race at San
Amazing.
Anita.
Amazing.
Shouldn't have ever happened.
Amazing.
Tim, thank you for coming on. It is always great having you here.
It's just a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate you
thank
guys.
You thank much. You very much. Watch Justified, City Primeval on FX. It premieres tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern on Hulu the next day, available right here on the Roku platform. And everyone should watch it so we can watch Raylan Givens play pickleball in the second season of this terrific show. Tim Oliphant.
Oliphant? It's an all. Did I say it's N-A-L-L?
Oliphant.
I don't want to drag out the end close here. That was such a lovely close. And now it's going to be back to this. Oliphant.
We'll be right back here on the Dick Eisen Show, right here on the Roku Channel. If you're like me and you're on the run, you need help finding good food and eating right. And now that we're in the thick of summer, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals to support sunny, active days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track reaching your goals. If you're too busy with summer plans to cook but want to make sure you're eating well, with Factor, skip the extra trip to the grocery store and the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up too, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy. Then get back outside and soak up the warm weather. This July, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/Eisen50 and use code Eisen50 to get 50% off. That's code Eisen50 at factormeals.com/Eisen50 to get 50% off.
The average on-farm income in the United States was a loss of $1,100. 60% of U.S. pork comes from one company wholly owned by the Chinese. And farmers are more likely to commit suicide than veterans. Folks, we got a problem. I'm Lucinda, 8th-generation farmer and founder of Moink. Moo plus Oink. We offer grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and wild-caught Alaskan salmon, shipped straight from the heart of rural America. Come stand shoulder to shoulder with us by putting the family farm at the center of your supper table. What's in it for you? You mean besides saving the family farm and enjoying the highest quality meat on God's green earth? Geez, want me to hang the moon for you too? I'd love to.
Go to moinkbox.com/yum right now and get a free gift in your first order.
Get to getting while the getting is good.
Go to moinkbox.com/yum. Moinkbox.com/yum.
I guarantee you're fixing to say, oink, oink, I'm just so happy I got moinked.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I love that guy. Mm. He definitely makes me feel less of a man whenever I talk to him.
Because he's just so...
He's just awesome.
He doesn't try to be cool.
He does not, but he is cool.
Yeah.
And he's always been great to us back in the day on our podcast days and showing up here. And everything he's in is great. I can't wait to have that that interview clank around for quite a bit. Okay. I need NFL Films music, please. I have a top five list. As always, these are born out of Brockman saying, why don't you do it? I'm like, okay. All right, here we go. It is my top five list of quarterbacks in need of a bounce back season.
Okay, I like this.
Okay. Number five on this list is the only one that's on this list due to injury. Okay. This is the only one on this list due to injury, and he needs a bounce back season because you're hearing rumors here in Los Angeles that they were trying to trade him, and you're hearing talk that maybe he's not all that anymore.
Good one.
You know, well,
they're tanking for Caleb Williams.
He no-looked to pass to Cooper Kupp in the yeah. Super Bowl to thread a needle. So, but we all know last year was a disaster for Matthew Stafford. And I want to see a bounce back season from him. I want to see him stay here in Los Angeles as long as he and his wife want. I want him to be staring at these Pacific Coast sunsets and having the sunset glint off of a trophy, you know? But, and this year's kind of big, I think. I think this year's kind of big. We will see what Matthew Stafford looks like in a bounce back season. I hope he is as healthy as everyone thinks he is, as everyone is hearing from the Rams that he is. Let's go. Let's get Cooper Kupp back out there. Let's get the Rams back out there and having a bounce back season. And they're one of the sleeper teams maybe of 2023. I'm throwing that all out there.
Because
I'm throwing it all against the wall.
Because they're going to be sleeping all season?
No, because they still have they've got a very young team with enough of the talent from the Super Bowl season to maybe catch some fire with a terrific coach. Number four on this list, got to get it. Got to have it. Need to see it. Is the first year the guy or is the second year the guy? Is the second year because the guys who were coaching him up weren't at all adequate to do so because they'd never done it before? I want to see Mac Jones have a bounce back season.
I agree with that.
He's number four on this list. He is in need of a bounce back season.
Big time.
Okay, because he's got a coach there who'll be ready to go to Bailey Zappe in a heartbeat if he thinks that's the way to go. And there's no sacred cows in Bill Belichick's world. And even though, you know, AKK loves him.
AKK.
And everyone's wearing their jerseys. They're wearing their 10 gamers to the stadium. But not if he's struggling in the first half of this season and Bill O'Brien's sitting there and he's getting paid. He and the two Bills have a little heart-to-heart. That's the way Bailey Zappi's showing up. Yeah. I need to see Mac Jones have a bounce-back season. Number three on this list. It's been a while since this guy's had a Pro Bowl season. We're all assuming he's the same Pro Bowl guy. And you can cut him, if you want, a little bit of slack. Because he had a self-imposed and then NFL-imposed sabbatical that kept Deshaun Watson out of the National Football League for quite some time. His own doing. And then he comes back last year and he finishes up the season for the Browns. And he looked... mediocre is the only way to put it. And you could sit here and say, well, that is not fair because he hadn't played in a while. And then he had to pick things up in the middle of the season. I need to see Deshaun Watson have a bounce back season. The Cleveland Browns put a ton of eggs in this man's basket. And they also put a lot of their capital with their fans in that basket. So not just the capital out of their bank account, but some of the capital with their fans figuratively in Deshaun Watson's basket. Got to see him have a bounce back season and look like the guy who was taking the Texans to the playoffs. If that guy shows up in Cleveland, then we can kind of rearrange potentially some of the AFC North furniture. Maybe even in the state of Ohio. How about them apples? Because as you know, Burrow's had a problem beating this team. So I need to see a bounce back season from him. Number two, new address for this guy. After the one team that he's only known... coughed him up. Actually, they sent him home for Christmas. And he went on a free agency tour, and he chose the New Orleans Saints. How about Derek Carr having a bounce back season?
Interesting.
How about him taking the Raiders to the playoffs a couple of years ago? Last year, could not close a double-digit deal for his life. couldn't put points on the board after crushing the scoreboard in the first quarter and a half, first half of football games, and then went to sleep in the second half as the defense started to give up points. We all know what was the problem with the Raiders last year, and I called his last game as a Raider Christmas Eve night in Pittsburgh, and he threw interception after interception to close that game, and Josh McDaniels basically said, you are Keyshawned for the rest of the season. And he said that this was something that made his wife cry. Now he's going to New Orleans, where they hope he is the guy that's after the guy, with the guy being Drew Brees being the first one. Derek Carr got to get a bounce back season from him, and I think the number one on quarterback on this list is the ultimate no-brainer. This one is 1,000%, I think, the quarterback on your list, if you're making up a top five quarterbacks list in need of a bounce back season, and it is Russell Wilson in Denver. Let's go. Let's get him cooking again. Let's get him out of the pocket and throwing. Let's get him being Russell Wilson again. Last year was an unmitigated disaster for the heart and soul of so many of those Seattle Seahawks championship teams in the NFC West. And of course, the kid that was as good as they come for the first 10 years of his career regressed to the point where people don't even know if he's good anymore. Here comes Sean Payton in his first foray as the coach of the Denver Broncos, and they closed up his office on the second floor, apparently, and things have changed there, and he looks healthy, and he looks ready to roll, and Broncos country, let's ride. Let's see how that works. He is number one on the list of quarterbacks in need of a bounce-back season.
Can we get one more? All right, we'll get one.
Okay, we got one more. You can go in so many different directions here. Certainly since the guy came on strong in the last month plus of the NFL season. So how could somebody come on strong in the last month of an NFL season? And I'm sitting here saying he's in need of a bounce back season because you don't think he's going to be there anymore. And he's actually, you know, more of a signal caller than a quarterback. And it's Einstein. Yeah, it's Einstein. He's a signal caller. As you know, he's trying to call with a bad signal. That's the last time we saw him, you know, on his bicycle, trying to get better reception on his cell phone. And I'm wondering if he's going to have a season, let alone a bounce back season, as one of the top signal callers of December and January in the National Football League. And that's,
man, I got totally fooled. I thought you were going to maybe throw Brock Purdy
or even
Aaron Rodgers.
No, need a bounce back.
You don't think Rodgers needs a bounce back season?
Kaput.
Come on, man. I don't think he's above any of these people on this list here. I mean, Stafford could be toast.
I'm just saying, toast, one more.
Right? You need Mac Jones to have a bounce back season.
Ryan Tannehill?
I was thinking of putting him on that list. Rodgers, you know, Rodgers definitely regressed from back-to-back MVP seasons.
He shouldn't have won one of those.
He's going to win three in a row. Well, one of them was COVID, right? Didn't he say it was a COVID season?
That should have been Tom Brady's. Let's be honest.
Well, Einstein, you know, he's a signal caller, that Einstein.
Wow. I can't believe I got duped on that. I thought we were done with the Einstein crap.
That's a bounce back.
Nobody wants that bounce back.
I do.
That's a good
See,
point.
Dude.
All those other five things that people want.
Sometimes we say things into these microphones without understanding completely what it would be like. Put yourself in your shoes if you're sitting at home.
Put
next November,
in my shoes?
Yes, next okay. November, next December,
in your own
and you see him on his, you see Paul Giamatti back on his bike.
I'll change the channel.
No, you won't.
I'm gonna
actually, you
TV.
Will, and you know what you'll see when you change the channel?
Paul Giamatti.
Same commercial.
I'm gonna throw something at
you.
My
can't
TV.
Avoid it.
Brilliant.
You can't avoid
my,
it.
My TV will be kaput because I've broken it.
Come on, you like the, you gotta like it. He's a signal caller more than a quarterback.
I don't like being fooled like that.
I don't think anyone on the planet Earth loves those commercials more than you.
No, I think Rudd does. Next time we have Paul Rudd
not
on.
Not even Paul Giamatti.
When I saw Paul Rudd at the draft, when I saw Paul Rudd at the draft, I don't know why this came up, but he said Paul Giamatti as Einstein was his screensaver on his cell phone for weeks.
That's preposterous. Not Paul's beautiful kids
Rudd.
Or his wife.
Paul
maybe himself as Ant-Man. Nope.
Had that
that's ridiculous
character as his screensaver on his cell phone for weeks. You know why? Because he knows that's a signal caller.
That's preposterous.
Of note.
I'm going to put this up as a poll.
Well, shouldn't the header be signal callers and not QBs?
They're both the same. It's like pass catchers and receivers. You know. All right.
We got duped again, bro.
We'll take a break.
I hate it.
I knew Dak was coming. Everything. That's why I kind of stopped paying attention because I was like, you don't throw Dak in here.
Nope. Big series for the Yankees and the Angels coming up starting tonight. I'm going to hit it.
Guys, let's take a trip to Anaheim.
I'm going
to
hit it hard. Dude.
You have to leave your house.
Yeah. I'll do it for that.
No, you won't.
Are you currently enjoying the show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
We just mentioned our friend Jeff Passan, who is one of our favorites, calling into the show, appearing on this program, because we were referring to him calling in from an ice machine room in a hotel on the day of the Home Run Derby. He tweeted this out about 40 minutes ago.
This is awful.
That during a cleanup after a big storm in Kansas City, a large tree limb decided to fall and crush me. The good news, I still have use of my arms, legs, and Twitter fingers. The bad news, I have a broken back. The vertebra fracture will heal. I'll be better. I'm hoping the pain subsides between now and the trade deadline, though painkiller fueled tweets could be a fun time. He thanks his family, friends, ESPN, and then the nurses and doctors and support staff at KU Med. I so appreciate your care and diligence, and to those who are so vital helping me deliver news this time of year, especially my back may be shot, but my phone still works, in a tweet breaking my back. So he's got a sense of humor intact. He's
laughing because of his tweet breaking my back.
I know. So I'm glad that he's able to joke.
Yeah, right.
And, but, hey, Jeff, our best to you.
No doubt.
So sending all of our well wishes your way.
Ugh,
one of my favorites. So kind
a
of
tree limb
back
fell
of it.
And broke his back.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Your head on a swivel.
Jeez.
So sending our best to one of our favorites out there.
No doubt.
I don't know there's that much to follow up on that one. Other than we will be having our eyes peeled over the next couple of weeks. His phone works. His hands work.
We'll have to get him to call in soon and tell us how he's
sure.
doing.
That's exactly what he wants to do. Hopped up on painkillers.
Yeah, that would
call
be
in.
Great.
Ooh, Elmo on painkillers.
Oh, my God. I do love Jeff Passan. Yeah, sending our best to you, sir. And appreciate you sharing and being able to have your sense of humor intact back here on our program. All right. Headline. Yankees stink. They are in last place. Now, they're above 500, which is kind of tough to say that they stink. But when you're in last place, and this is the latest they have been in last place, a piece of it or alone, this late in the season since 1992. And if they're alone in it, the last time they were in last place in the AL East this late in the season was 1990. It's the Stump Merrill year.
Whoa.
Yankees. This is brutal. Okay. It's tough to watch. Judge has been out. I totally get it. But they're in that mode right now of if they're hitting, the pitching's not working. And if the pitching's working, the hitting's not working. They lost 2 of 3 to the Rockies, one of the worst teams in baseball. And it's not, I mean, it's not even working great in their booth. Did you hear what happened yesterday? This is...
No.
Yeah, the Yankees, they gave up a grand slam home run to CJ Cron. Mm-hmm. They're up 3-1. Now they're down 5-3. They tie the game 5-5. They go into extras. They go up 7-5. And, you know, base running, they got thrown out at third to end the ninth and the tenth. How about that?
Yikes.
How about making outs to end innings at third base in consecutive innings? It just was bad baseball all around.
Like Dion, you cut.
And then John Flatt, and then they go up 7-5. Then, you know, ghost runner on second, first batter, home run to tie the game. And then two outs later, this happens. One of the worst announcer jinxes of all time.
Yeah, I've heard this one.
Trejo, 120 at bats, does not have a home run this year.
Oh no.
Until now. A game winning walk-off home run from Alan Trejo. And the Rockies win this one 8-7.
That's John Flaherty, who does a great job on Yes, by the way. Normally he does the analysis, but they had him in the role of play-by-play as they're making their way here to Anaheim. Yankees, again, they're above 500. They're only two games out of the wild card. That's it.
Yep.
And they come here to Southern California to take on an Angels team that is two under 500, six games out of the wild card race, and four behind the Yankees and Red Sox, who are both two games out. So the Angels are on the periphery of hailing distance. And last night, Shohei Ohtani homers, hits a 34th home run of the season to put him up 8-3. And then the Astros score six to win the game. Mm-hmm. And that's the way the Angels fall to the Astros. So once again, Ohtani does his job. And then when the rest of the team does pitch in to do their job, they still can't win. So you got two teams that can't get it right. The Yankees MVP is out and Judge. And, you know, the Yankees treat injuries with their fans like it's the Patriots. They don't tell you much.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be back by now.
Well, who the hell knows? He just let it slip. Oh, by the way, I'm fine. I ran through this bullpen door. I'm fine. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's not in the lineup tonight. Oh, he's not in the lineup the next night. Oh, yeah. He's on the injured list. Oh, yeah. He's on the injured list, and he just lets it slip. He's got a torn ligament in his toe. He's out. Ohtani is in, and both teams can't get it together. And I'll just say this, Hal Steinbrenner, who said, if the team just gets healthy, right? Rodon comes back. He lost in Colorado. And they get healthy. And all they got to do is play like they did in early May and they'll be fine. Well, it's getting late. It's now late July, mid to late July. It's almost early August. How about that? I'm rounding in a certain direction to make my point, which my dad always did. May he rest in peace, Joel Eisen. Whenever I was acting up, he wanted to say, you know, if I was like, say, 13 and a half, he goes, you're 14. Act, you know, you should act.
And act then, your age.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can't stay out late. You're 13.
Exactly.
Time goes by so fast.
He would round around to make his point. So I'm my father's son. All right. So it's almost August. The Yankees need Ohtani right now. They need Ohtani right now, and they're going to see him. And the next three games, it is crucial for the Yankees to win these next three games, not just for their season, but to make sure Ohtani's Angels leave this series in a big pile of ash, nine out of the wild card, totally, completely, and utterly gutted. So they have no choice but to answer a phone call from Brian Cashman, who will absolutely turn around the way that everybody feels about him in the New York Yankee fandom right now by getting Ohtani. And I don't care. Oswald, Peraza, Oswaldo, Cabrera, Volpe. I don't care. Honestly. I'm seeing the Reds and the Orioles keep calling up these kids who just rake. And then they call up another one. And you're like, oh, gosh, they're so young and so good. And then they call up another. And you're like, where are they coming from? And I know the Yankees didn't choose first overall as much as these guys did. I don't care. You get Ohtani, first things first. You ruin the Angels season in the next 3 days, and you get Ohtani now. And then you show them what it's like to be a Yankee as you're making a playoff run and go beat the Astros like a rented mule and go ahead and do things you haven't done in the last couple years or decades and roll the dice and get it done. That's what George M. would do. We need a little more George M. than Hal. Let's take a look at the slide rules and the projections and the PowerPoints. PowerPoint, my ass. It starts tonight in the Big A. We'll chat Tuesday.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Collision has been struggling a little bit out of the gate with these ticket sales.
A little bit out of the gate. This was a major show announced on a major network with what everybody thought was this huge star, CM Punk. I said he was going to be the biggest financial flop in wrestling history, and I think I'm being proven right every minute of the day.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.